Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely day. It's quite a beautiful day, and if my voice seems a little less familiar, it's because our host and regular moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is off gallivanting someplace on a lovely trip, and we expect him back next week. So I hope this is a somewhat familiar voice. This is Lori Fisher, somewhat regular panel member, and I'm here to moderate and try not to make a shambles of the show. As all our regular listeners know, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation show, and I'm really looking forward to people calling in. Perhaps some new voices will call in this week, and we'll be giving questions about all kinds of topics and all kinds of things like movies, TV, music, history, geography, food, news, San Francisco. Perhaps, since Dana isn't here, we'll toss in a little bit of sports. This is the time to get those in. We have a kind of new and improved panel this week. Michael Gorin is here, actually a former student of mine, and Cameron Shaw is here, which is a big surprise to the entire world, and we'll be hearing from them in a couple of minutes. I do have an announcement from last week, which is that a couple of questions didn't get answered, and they were my questions. One was two lines of poetry, and I'm sure people have been on the edges of their seat waiting to hear, "I love thee purely as they turn from praise, I love thee with the passion put to use," was Elizabeth Barrett Browning's "How Do I Love Thee?" And "The Facts We're Not Told to Speak and Were Taken Away" was Jane Hirschfield's poem "On the Fifth Day." So I know people wanted to hear that. It's not too early to call in. Our numbers are, phone number, local number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And for those who have unlimited minutes, call either of those numbers and you'll be fine. There is an email address, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. I don't have to spell it out. It's mindsovermatter. We don't read them during the show. Dana will be reading them. So send your corrections and questions and especially your compliments and reviews to us during the week, and then we'll be getting back to you. So with all that said, get your phones ready. Get on. Get ready for a really wonderful show. And we'll start with a round of introductions followed by a round of questions. Michael Gorin is crossing his fingers, hoping that his recent brain transplant takes. We hope so, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The last time Cameron Shaw was on the radio, it was 2003, and the signal only reached to the third floor of her dorm. Comparatively, this is a step up.
It really is.
Today's moderator, Lori Fisher, is not sure whether or not April is actually the cruelest month. There is no doubt the Giants would say it is. Happily, things look much better for the Minds Over Matter team.
They do. We've got a new crew here, and we're ready to go. So we'll start with a round of questions, maybe a full round, and then we'll start taking some calls. So, Michael, what's on your docket today?
Yeah, I'm looking for the names of the twin brothers behind the Guinness World Records.
The Guinness boys, huh?
Yes, correct.
Not Alec. Well, that's good.
Gosh.
All right. Now, everybody at home, we're going to give you a chance to get the ones we don't get, of course. All right, so repeat your question again. Do you know Cameron?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. The names of the two twin brothers who are behind the Guinness World Records.
All right. Do you have another question to toss in?
Yes.
A short one?
A short one, certainly. George Bernard Shaw was a co-founder of what institution in 1895?
Was this a political institution?
No.
Was it a dietary institution?
Not that either, okay. No.
I think he was a vegetarian. So what institution was she a co-founder of? Yeah.
I feel I should know this. I'm apparently a relative of his.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
The whole Shaw dynasty?
We like to say that, at least. Yeah.
This is Cameron Shaw. Well, perhaps one of your numerous relatives on the Shaw side can be calling in. So say the question again.
George Bernard Shaw was a co-founder of what institution in 1895?
And it's not political, and it's not dietary.
No, I wouldn't say political. It's peripherally perhaps political, but not primarily so.
Is it the Royal Geographical Society?
No.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
That would have been such a good answer. Yeah, definitely worth a shot. Yeah, and that runs in your family blood somewhat. All right.
Slightly.
So, Cameron, how about you?
All right. With an estimated net worth of $65.4 billion, who topped Forbes' most recent list of richest fictional characters?
So it's In the past, it's been Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, it is still Scrooge McDuck.
Oh. And if... is there a bell? Wait a minute.
Oh, we don't
stop
have a bell.
Stop the show. Dana didn't leave the
Ding.
Bell. How about that? Okay, everybody out there, imagine a bell, and our crew is going to go out and see if there's one in the other room. There's supposed to be a bell. So Scrooge McDuck is still
it
first.
Was. It was Scrooge McDuck.
All right. You ask another one.
All
that
right.
was pretty quick.
Let's see. Gone Till November, a journal of Rikers Island, is a memoir of what rapper's time spent in prison.
So read the whole thing again.
Gone Till November, a journal of Rikers Island, is a memoir of what rapper's time spent in prison.
I'm gonna defer to the young people on the crew, which would be Cameron, who asked the question, and Mike.
Boy. Yeah, Curtis Jackson did not spend any time in prison, did he?
I don't know, but...
50 Cent, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, we have a bell.
Just a moment. That was the Scrooge McDuck bell. Okay, so read that question one more time.
Gone Till November, a journal of Rikers Island, is a memoir of what rapper's time spent in prison.
All right. I'm going to ask one more question, and then we'll open to the phones. So I ran into two institutions devoted to alcohol. One is the Mixology Hall of Fame, and one is the Museum of the American Cocktail. So one of my questions is, where are these two institutions? They're in two different cities. But more important, what were the first seven classic cocktails in the Mixology Hall of Fame? In other words, they picked seven cocktails to be in on the day they opened. And the only hint I'll give you is none of them mention the alcohol's name. So it's not gin and tonic, and it's not vodka and tonic. So where is the Mixology Hall of Fame, and where is the Museum of the American Cocktail? And of the first seven classic cocktails that were kind of the Babe Ruth and Honus Wagner of the Hall of Fame, what were they? I'll give you two guesses each.
Is Bloody Mary one of them?
Shockingly not.
Oh, okay. How about Cosmopolitan?
The Cosmopolitan... So they have a separate category for modern classics, and that's a modern classic.
Okay.
So I'm giving you, I was going to ask that later. I'll give you a bell for that. Cameron?
How about a Manhattan?
Excellent. That is on the top list. Let me give you that. And?
And a hot toddy.
No hot toddy. All right. So we're going to take a few calls now. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Hayward.
Hey, Garrett. How are you doing?
Got a couple questions.
Great.
You know, last week I was mentioning about Jerry Goldsmith appearing in Harm's Way. Here's a quote. What two stars of HUD appeared in Harm's Way?
What two stars of, say it again?
Of HUD appeared in Harm's Way.
Okay, so what two stars of HUD, the movie
I think
HUD, appeared?
One was an Oscar winner.
How about Melvin Douglas for one of them?
No.
Paul Newman?
No.
Nope.
How about Geraldine Page? Patricia Neal.
Yes, who was the other one?
I'm getting myself a bell for that. So who's the other in harm's way person?
Yeah. I'll give you a clue. He was killed in a car crash.
Oh, was it Brandon DeWilde? Was he in that?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, very
okay,
good.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
Here's my second question. Let's see. Which four stars of The Shoe has previously appeared with John Wayne in other films?
Which four stars of, say it again?
Of the supporting cast of The Shoe has appeared with John Wayne in other films.
I'm getting a puzzled look. So say it slowly one more time. Which four stars of?
Which four members of the supporting cast of The Shoe appeared with John Wayne in other feature films?
Okay, so which four stars of the co-stars of The Shootist appeared with John Wayne in other films?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to write that one down. I didn't see The Shootist. Okay, I'm getting looks from Michael and Cameron. Got any guesses?
What?
I'm looking at the studio audience, too.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to give us a hint?
Okay, I'll give you a clue. One appeared in the film that made him a star.
I'm drawing a blank on that, Garrett. Give us the answer.
Okay. There were Jimmy Stewart,
uh-huh.
The man who shot Liberty Valance.
Right.
There was Laura Bacall, Blood Alley.
Wow.
And then there was John Carradine, Stagecoach.
Uh-huh.
And the fourth was a real tough one. Harry Morgan and How the West Was Won.
Wow. That's quite a cast.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do well on that. Thanks for calling, Garrett.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week. That's good. Next call, please. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
This is Roland from Vernal Heights.
Hi, Roland. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm calling in part because last week you left a question open, as I recall, and I think this was Lori who asked the question about you had some lines from poems.
Yes.
And the idea was to identify the poem and the maybe the first line. And I only listened to the show on the podcast, so I was actually yelling at my iPhone when I heard
that,
the line.
That works well. Yeah.
The fact, that's why I was very glad that some of this was left over till this week. One of the lines was the facts were told not to speak and were taken away. The facts surprised to be taken were silent.
Yes.
I know this because I heard the poem recited by its author at during the rally in the March for Science in D.C.
Sure
did. And that was the Bay Area's own Jane Hirschfield.
Yes. Do you know that?
On the fifth day.
Yes. And do you happen to know the first line? Go ahead.
Yes. On the fifth day, the scientists who studied the rivers were forbidden to speak or to study the rivers.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yes, a great poem. I'm a huge fan. I have a couple of guesses about the classic cocktails.
Go ahead.
Is a mint julep on the list?
It is. Very nicely done. Boy, you're doing great.
Great. Well, I also have a few questions for you guys.
Great.
These are related. These are television related. And these are television spinoffs. So a lot of television shows are spinoffs of other shows. So if I gave you some shows, could you tell me what show spawned them? So if I said Better Call Saul, what show would have spawned that?
Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Of course, Breaking Bad.
Was that the easy one?
That was the example.
That was the easy one. That's
I'm giving her a bell.
Easy one.
It's your first
All
bell.
Right, so how about Mork and Mindy?
Oh, it was Happy Days.
Happy Days, exactly.
Nice.
All right, what about... Here's a double one, then. There is a show that spawned it and a show that spawned that one, so there are two generations.
Wow.
Good Times, starring Jimmy Walker.
Okay. Oh, so we want one before it and one after it?
Yeah. What spawned it, and then what spawned the one that spawned it?
Oh, man.
So the main character in Good Times was a housekeeper for a character in another sitcom.
Was it the Jeffersons? Jeffersons?
It's close. So
Sanford and Son?
No, but the show that Jeffersons was actually spawned by the show that spawned the parent of this show.
Okay, All in the Family spawned the Jeffersons, right?
There we go. So there's a show in the middle, All in the Family, and then blank, and then Good Times.
And it's not Mork and Mindy, I don't think.
No.
Gosh.
I think we'll...
Stars B. Arthur.
Oh, Maude.
Maude, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Okay.
All right. And here's another double. There's a television show from the early 70s called Emergency.
Uh-huh.
And what show spawned that one?
So that was about doctors, right? Emergency
about doctors.
You could think
of it as almost like a medical procedural show.
Wow.
That's a hint.
What year are we talking about for Emergency?
72 to 77.
All right. So we want something before that.
Yeah. It was spawned by a police procedural.
Not Dragnet.
Well, okay, that's the grandparent of Emergency. Now we're looking for the parent that's between Dragnet and Emergency.
Streets of San Francisco? No.
No?
No, that's a...
Very similar to Dragnet. It has two cops, but instead of detectives, they're beat cops.
Oh, Adam 12, one of those?
Adam 12, exactly. Oh, wow. Adam 12.
I'm a little embarrassed.
Jack Webb was the creator and producer on all three of those shows.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
And
One more.
Mama's Family.
Mama's Family.
Spawned by a variety show.
The Carol Burnett Show.
The Carol Burnett Show, exactly.
All
great.
Right.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. Very good. All right, I think we'll take one more call before we get to more questions. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Good evening.
Hey.
Good evening.
Who is this? Hello.
Good evening. I'm Larry.
Hey, Larry. How you doing?
Well, I'm sick, but try not to complain.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the linguistical caller from last week, and
I remember
after I called, someone called with that old chestnut that when President Kennedy went to Berlin in June of '63, he referred to himself as a donut,
right, as a Berliner. That's not accurate.
Yeah, totally wrong. No one that speaks German has any problem with that statement.
They knew he wasn't a donut. That's what you're telling us, right? Yeah.
No, I'm not telling you he wasn't. I'm telling you the people in the crowd understood. If you watch the audience, people weren't laughing. They were cheering when he said that.
That's what I remember.
They didn't
too.
Think it was a ridiculous statement. Yeah. And it's perfectly grammatical.
Excellent.
It is true that someone who lives in Berlin would usually leave out the article.
Okay.
They'd just say, Ich bin Berliner.
All right. Do you have a question for us tonight?
But if you're making a figurative statement, it's more correct to add the article. So
right.
Ich bin ein Berliner. That particular pastry, kind of a jelly donut sort of thing, is called a Berliner in some parts of Germany. But in Berlin, they call it a Pfannkuchen.
Nice.
There would have been no thought, no connection.
No confusion.
With the pastry whatsoever. You Germans never, ever mention this. This urban legend is only found in English-speaking sources. I've looked all over the internet. I couldn't find any German sources for this story whatsoever.
Thanks for clearing it up.
Purely English.
That's great.
And it's just not true.
Okay. Do you have
a
question for us?
It's sad that your caller perpetrated. It is a great story, though.
Yeah,
I understand why people want to believe it.
A good urban legend. Thank you for calling.
It seems funny. It is an urban legend. It seems funny. Of course, some urban legends are true.
Yes. Well, you've cleared it up.
Not this one.
Okay. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. All right. Mike. Michael, you got another question for us.
Yeah, a more involved one. In the vein of the Mayflower, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, I'm looking for the names of the five ships that attempted to circumnavigate the globe under Magellan, one of which made it, the other four did not.
The five Magellan ships, huh?
That's correct, yes. And as a bonus, I guess, if you will, following Magellan's death in the Philippines, who took over in charge of what was left of the small fleet?
The captain after
Magellan.
Who became
the captain, yes.
The post-Magellanistic captain and the five Magellan ships.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think our audience is already working hard on this. Cameron, you have anything on this one?
I don't. My fifth grade teacher would be very disappointed in me.
I think she would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if she's listening, she'll call in and she better have the answer. That would be very nice. All right. So we have that question out there. Cameron, do you have a quick question? Or not even necessarily.
I have a not as quick question.
Yeah, go
okay.
Ahead.
I have six Secret Service code names of six 20th or 21st century presidents.
Aha.
Please match them to the corresponding U.S. president.
All right.
All right. Lancer, Volunteer, Rawhide, Eagle, Searchlight, and Mogul.
And these are all presidents, not first lady.
They are
not
all
vice
presidents, and they are all, I'll say, post Eisenhower.
Oh, all right. Well, that really gives us a good. And do any of them make sense? Like, oh, that's why Ride makes sense because of some reason I wouldn't understand.
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is Mogul Trump?
It sadly, yes,
right.
It is.
All right. Michael, you got a guess on any?
I don't know. I'm wondering about Eagle being Nixon.
Eagle is not Nixon.
Okay.
Is Eagle Obama?
No, Obama's... I will say Obama is not any of these. His is my favorite. It was Renegade.
But you didn't include it.
I did not include it. I think it's fairly commonly known.
All right. Mike, you got another guess?
Volunteer Carter?
No.
How about LBJ for Rawhide?
Nope.
From Texas.
No.
All right. So I think we'll take another call. Hello. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Janet, Chris, and Evan calling from Santa Cruz.
Hey, three of you. How you doing?
Pretty good. And let's see. Chris knows that the Guinness Book of Records was started by the two brothers Ross and Norris McGuerta.
That's correct. Very good.
Excellent.
Okay. And then can I take some guesses on the cocktails?
Absolutely.
How about a martini?
That is in there for sure.
And an old-fashioned?
Old-fashioned was the number one. Very good.
Oh, okay. Was a screwdriver in there?
Screwdriver's not in there.
Oh, how about a Negroni?
It is. The Negroni's in there for sure. Negroni. There's two more out there.
And what about a Gibson?
Not the Gibson.
Two more. Stop it. a daiquiri?
Nope, not the daiquiri.
Did I already say screwdriver?
You did, and it's not on the list.
Okay, that's all I got there.
All right, well, you did very well on your alcohol.
A mojito.
Not the mojito. I don't think that's classic enough yet. Okay? Do you have other guesses?
Well, no, but I have a question.
Great.
If I may.
You may.
So, the New York, San Francisco Giants came from New York in 1957. Mm-hmm. What were they called when they were in New York?
They were called the New York Giants.
No.
Were they not the Brooklyn?
They were the.
Giants?
They no. were not the Brooklyn Giants.
Okay.
It was the Brooklyn
the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Oh, that's right.
Is this a trick question? Because they certainly.
No.
Huh. The New York Giants. Because I picture Willie Mays and Monty Irvin and people like that, but I'm wrong, huh? You're not thinking.
Well, at our local trivia night, they had a different answer than the New York Giants,
There's a chance they had a different name back in the 1880s. Is it something like that, like the Knickerbockers? Or, you know, I think the Yankees were a team like that.
No.
Wow.
No.
Cameron?
Well.
You know what? You want to give that to the board op? Because that's a good one to leave out there. Say the question again.
In 1957, the New York baseball team moved here, and they became the New York Giants. What were they when they were in New York?
Yeah. So they became the San Francisco Giants, and the answer is not the New York Giants.
Right.
Right. I thought, I'm going to check my baseball cards.
Is it something more specific like the Manhattan Giants?
No. It's not Giants.
They're not the Giants? Oh. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm raising my...
Yeah, I'll stay on the line and I'll give it to you.
I'm raising my eyebrows on that one. Okay, very good. I have a question here, I think. Oh, I know what it is. I'm sneaking in a quasi-sports question while Dana's away, but it's actually disguised as a geography question. So what are the five largest cities in the United States that do not have a major professional sports team? And by that I mean do not have a baseball team, a football team, or a basketball team on the professional level. I ask this partly because Las Vegas is about to get a football team, and all five of these cities are bigger than Las Vegas and do not have a baseball team, football team, or basketball team. I did not include hockey because I don't know much about hockey. So I'm looking for the five biggest cities in the United States that do not have a professional baseball, football, or basketball team, and I'm not counting college, which some think of as professional, but I don't.
How about Austin, Texas?
That is number two on the list.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. It has 912,000 people.
Wow.
Very good, by the way.
I'm just wondering, technically, San Jose has a hockey team, of course, but...
That's San Jose's number one on the list, because I'm not counting hockey teams.
Okay.
They have just over a million people. Okay, I'll give you one more guess each. So we're looking for the five biggest cities that don't have a professional baseball, football, or basketball team. We have San Jose and Austin. This is the silence. The Minds Over Matter is well known for. Your radios are still on, everybody.
I've got to give it some thought.
Yeah,
okay. We'll turn it over to the calls. Next caller, please. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
This is John in San Francisco.
Hi, John.
I think I heard the question was concerning George Bernard Shaw and the organization he founded.
That's correct, yes.
It was the Fabian Society.
He was actually a member of the Fabian Society. I don't know if he founded that, but in 1895 he founded an institution.
Oh, an institution. I missed the question. Well, I don't have an answer to that, but I have another George Bernard Shaw question.
Excellent.
What did he leave a good portion, if not the majority, of his money to when he passed on?
Did he leave it to an organization?
No.
No? To a person?
No.
Oh.
Anyone know?
To an animal?
It was not an animal, no.
Okay.
It was a creation of a phonetic alphabet.
Really?
It's called Shavian. And if you go to a typographer, they can show you Shavian.
And had it already been invented and he was looking to promote it?
No, he left a bequest to the person who could create it.
Wow.
So.
I have never heard that. So we're still looking for someone to invent the Shavian alphabet, right?
Yeah.
And someone on the panel tonight is named Shaw, so I believe she's in line to do it. She'll get a grant. How much did he leave? Do you have any idea?
It was for the time, it was a tremendous amount of money, which meant that there was a dispute as to how to actually spend the money. But I don't remember the exact amount.
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Let me give the numbers here. Okay, the numbers to call the show are 415-841-4134 and 866-9 798-8255. Let me say that again, 866-798-8255, and we'll take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hey, Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well.
How are things in Massachusetts?
What's that?
How are things in Massachusetts? Pretty good?
Pretty good. We had our first really gorgeous spring day yesterday.
Excellent.
And today got cold again, but I think we're finally safely away from the snow.
All right. So what do you have today for answers or questions?
I got a couple of guesses. Couple of guesses. Let me see. On the cocktails, you still have one to go?
Two to go.
How about the gimlets?
The gimlet's not in there.
Okay. Rob Roy.
Rob Roy's not in there. I think the Rob Roy's considered to come from Europe, and these are the classic American cocktails, so I don't know if that's what eliminated or not. I'm not sure if
and
that's
I've got
true.
A couple others that I think might make your modern list, but I don't think they would be on the all-time classic list. The margarita?
The margarita is on the classic list, so I'm going to give you that one. Very good.
Okay. And how about the Long Island iced tea?
You know what? It's not on either list, I'm shocked to say.
Well, then we're done with the cocktails.
Okay.
On the president names, these are the two of them that I know. LBJ was a volunteer.
Yes, he was.
Very nice.
And Rawhide was President Reagan.
Yes, it was.
Oh,
excellent.
Of course. Very nice.
And I don't know the others.
Okay.
And then I have a question for you, or a couple related questions.
Okay.
And I don't know why this popped in my head, but I started looking things up about secretaries of state. I think it was when I heard a news story and they mentioned the name and I said, oh, that's our new Secretary of State. Who is our new Secretary of State?
Tillerson.
Yeah, Rex Tillerson.
Rex Tillerson.
Rex Tillerson, okay. Yeah. Who is our oldest living Secretary of State?
I'm giving Cameron and I a bell for laughing. Oldest living.
The oldest living former Secretary of State.
Is it Warren Christopher?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess. He's old, and I think he's living.
Warren Christopher, I don't even have on the list. I don't think he's alive.
Okay.
Because then I'm going to ask you who's still living, but I don't.
Okay, so you want the oldest living Secretary of State?
The oldest currently living Secretary of State.
How old is this person?
96.
Oh, wow. Man. Wow. Oh, how about Kissinger?
No.
It's not,
older
somebody's
than him.
Older than Kissinger. And was this person Secretary of State before Kissinger?
No.
So somebody after Kissinger, which is
after him, but older.
After him. So that puts him after Nixon. Ooh, this is good. Do you have another question, too? Because we'll leave that one out.
Well, and then the next one I was going to ask you was, can you name all the former living Secretary of State? There are about seven or eight.
Well, I would guess Henry Kissinger and John Kerry.
I'm surprised that Kissinger was still alive, but yeah, Kissinger is there.
John Kerry and Hillary Clinton. Those would be.
Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
James Baker. Oh, was he Secretary of State? James Baker?
Uh huh.
Okay.
Is that one? Baker?
Baker.
Okay.
Madeleine Albright.
Was Madeleine Albright one?
Albright.
Yeah. Very nice. So that's five.
So there are two left, and then the oldest. So three left.
Is Madeleine Albright the oldest?
She is not.
Okay.
So two left and a third one who's the oldest, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why don't you give those to the board op?
Okay.
And we'll leave them out there. That's
I'll
it.
I'll repeat the question. The question real quick. Who is the oldest living former Secretary of State and who are the two other remaining living Secretary of State?
That's great. Okay. Get them over there. Excellent. Anyway, a reminder that we're on Minds Over Matter, and we'll do a quick question from Michael and Cameron, and then we'll review what we haven't had.
I think okay, it's I've got the names of three folks here. I'd like to know how they're better known. One is Salvatore Lombino, L-O-M-B-I-N-O. One is David Cornwell, and the other is Mary Ann Evans.
Oh. They have nothing to do with each other, right?
They don't, no. They're all in the same profession, or were, but...
Mary Ann Evans is not Roe of Roe versus Wade, is she?
No.
Okay. They're all in the same profession. Okay. So say their names again.
Salvatore Lombino, David Cornwell, and Mary Ann Evans.
Are these actors?
No, not actors.
Okay. And are they known, let's see, as something in the criminal world? Like they have a, like Babyface Nelson kind of
names? I
attempted
to give you one big hint. These are actually their real names. I'm looking for their pseudonyms or their nom de plume.
Okay, so they're all writers, which yes. means I should know them. And it means Cameron should know them, too. Salvatore Lombino. And these were their birth names.
Yes.
David Cornwell is the most familiar, but I don't know it. I think we'll leave that one for the...
Certainly.
Yes. We have to leave it because I don't know it. People will call in on that one. That's terrific. Cameron, you got one more?
I do.
No hurry.
Let's see. What celebrity, and I can give you a hint if necessary, what celebrity appeared in an uncredited role listed on IMDb as a nymphomaniac's slave in Fellini's Satyricon?
Well, this... Do you know this one, Michael?
I don't. I'm familiar with Fellini.
Yeah.
But I
know this one.
You know.
Oh, very good.
I'm so glad you know.
Well, it came out in the podcast about him, and it's the incredible Richard Simmons.
Sure it is.
Uncredited role. Say the name of the role.
The name of the role, as listed on IMDb, is a nymphomaniac slave.
And I think we'll just leave no comment on that one. But it was a question waiting to be asked.
It really was.
Okay. So it's just past halfway, so let's go through the questions that are unanswered out there. Michael, what do you have?
Yes. What are the names of the five ships that attempted to circumnavigate the globe under Magellan? And who took command of the circumnavigation following Magellan's death? And... George Bernard Shaw was a co-founder of what institution in 1895?
Well, we still don't have that, right? Okay. Is that it?
Oh, I had the three names here that I just went over.
Right.
Yes. Should I go over them again?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Do.
Yes, these authors were born, what are their actual author names, if you will, their pseudonyms, but Salvatore Lombino, David Cornwell, and Mary Ann Evans.
And they're all quite well known, right?
Certainly, yes.
All right. Very nice. Cameron, what's out there for you?
I have Gone Till November, A Journal of Rikers Island, is a memoir of what rapper's time spent in prison. I have my leftover Secret Service code names of 20th century presidents.
Post-Eisenhower, even,
Post-Eisenhower, 20th century presidents. The ones that are left are Lancer, Eagle, and Searchlight.
And tell us which ones we got.
We got Volunteer was Lyndon B. Johnson, Rawhide was Ronald Reagan, and Mogul was Donald Trump, our 21st century president.
And I am looking for the location of the Mixology Hall of Fame and the location of the Museum of the American Cocktail. We now have six of the seven original classic cocktails that were in there, the old-fashioned Manhattan, Martini, Mint Julep, Margarita, and Negroni. We're missing one more. And then I'm looking for the five largest cities that do not have a professional baseball, football, or basketball team. We got San Jose and Austin. We're looking for the next three biggest cities, all either quite a bit or somewhat bigger than Las Vegas. And we'll take the next call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hey, Ed. How are you?
Where would you find Blood Fall? All of us familiar with Niagara Fall, but this is actually called Blood Fall.
Blood Falls?
Fall, because it's actually the water looks very red, like blood.
Is it Antarctica?
Where?
Antarctica.
You are very smart. You're right.
Okay.
But I was going to ask another question.
Very nice.
What is the driest desert in the world?
The driest?
Driest.
it's Antarctica again, I believe. They really get no precipitation there.
Very nice.
Yeah, nobody can believe that. So much ice there, but actually it's dry.
Good question.
Almost zero participation. Okay, second question is, what is in common between the ancient Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun and the biblical figure Isaac? They have something in common. Isaac and Tutankhamun.
Let's see.
Well, they did something, or something happened to them.
Was it that their fathers, was it had to do with their fathers?
No.
Okay. So say the question again. The question again.
What is in common between Tutankhamun, the Egyptian young pharaoh, who died at 19 years old, and the biblical figure Isaac?
I was going to guess the age at which they died, but...
No, actually, Isaac died at a very old age. Something in common.
Something, okay.
I would say it has something to do with name, with the name.
Oh.
Yep.
Like the origin of their name, or who their name...
Well, just take a guess from that. What happened to their names? I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
What was the prior name of Tutankhamun?
The prior name before
after
he became
his father died. Uh-huh. He changed his name to Tutankhamun, but he actually had a different name before his father died, because his father was the first monotheist who prayed for the sun. He saw the sun disk represented God, and so Tutankhamun had a different name actually.
I think you better tell us what's the answer.
Okay, all right. It was Tutankhaton, which is the name of the sun.
Okay.
Aton, A-T-O-N, which is the name for the son, the name of God in his father's name. So after his father died, the priest took over and told him, you are making a big mess. Let's go back to the old religion, which had Amon, the god Amon, as the god. So his name became changed from Tutankhamun to Tutankhamun. Okay, what about, then let's go to Isaac. What was the original name?
In Hebrew, it was Yitzhak, but I don't know any more now.
Well, it's Hak, you know, which means laugh.
Yeah.
Not a big tool.
So tell us.
But you know what it is? What was his original name?
I don't know.
What happened to him after he wrestled with God? He did not have the name Isaac. He had a different name.
I don't know. He didn't become Elijah, did he?
Huh?
Did he become Elijah? No.
No.
Tell us.
No. Let's leave it to the audience. Really interesting question.
Okay.
I love this history. Thank you very much.
We'll leave it out to the audience. Thank you very much. Very good. Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is off someplace having a good time. And I am Laurie Fisher here with Michael Gorin and Cameron Shaw. And we have a question here. I think it's my turn to give you a question. As many of you know, one of my favorite topics is movies about teachers. And this question is about movies about teachers. I'm going to give you the name of the actor and the name of the movie, and I want you to tell me what they taught, what was the main subject they taught in the movie. The first one's pretty obvious, but I'll put it out there, is Richard Dreyfuss in Mr. Holland's Opus. What did Glenn Ford teach in Blackboard Jungle? Robert Donat, I think it's Donat, in Goodbye, Mr. Chips. George Siegel, who was a professor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Kate Blanchett in Notes on a Scandal, and Tina Fey in Mean Girls. So I'm looking for the subjects they taught in their classroom, for the most part, in each of those movies, and I'll give you two each.
Well, in Mr. Holland's Opus, Richard Dreyfuss teaches music.
He does. That was hence the opus.
The opus, indeed. And in Mean Girls, Tina Fey, I believe, teaches math.
She does. Very nicely done. All right, so you're out
one
for now. Hang on to that, Michael.
Well, Goodbye, Mr. Chips. I was first thinking English, but I'm thinking history now, in fact.
It's not history and it's not English, but you're in the right kind of ballpark. I'll let you stew it over.
Okay,
certainly. And we'll take another call. Anyways, next caller, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome. Hello.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, that's great. Excellent. This is Tom in Oakland.
Hey, Tom in Oakland. How are you?
Great. I'll take some guesses. Did George Bernard Shaw, did he co-found the Abbey Theater in 1895?
No.
Shoot. the cocktail, Seven Cocktails, did somebody guess the Gimlet?
Someone did guess the gimlet, and it wasn't correct. It's not one of the original seven.
How about the Tom Collins?
Tom Collins is not either.
Harvey Wallbanger.
Not the Harvey or the Wallbanger.
Striking out all over.
Yeah.
The Mixology Museum in Chicago?
No.
The Hall of Fame?
It's not.
Salt Lake City?
Not Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it?
That sounds for the night, yes.
Yeah, the heart of irony, but not it.
No. Okay, Secret Service code names. Is Eagle George H.W. Bush?
It is not.
Oh. How about Searchlight for Clinton?
No. It is not.
This is a horrible show today.
Just got a lot worse, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Okay, I'm going to guess some of the largest cities without a professional sports team.
Mm-hmm.
How about Honolulu?
You know, it didn't turn up on my list, and I don't think it's big enough.
Yeah, it might be. How about Tulsa?
Tulsa's not in the top 10.
Tucson.
Tucson is in the top 10, but I'm looking for the top 5.
Shoot. And did they get all the Secretary of State answers?
No, we are looking for two living and who's the oldest, and that should be at the board here.
Okay, Condi Rice.
Condi Rice, that's one.
And George Shultz is probably the oldest.
George, and yeah, very nice. Oh, good. All right.
I finally got some bells.
You're on a roll.
Okay, excellent. And I just have one question. How old is the oldest food known to be eaten?
This might be like the question about the oldest words in the English language. So
that's
exactly
why I thought of it.
Yeah. So this is, tell us again, what's the question?
It's the oldest food that has been consumed.
Okay, not the Big Mac. I'm not going there.
No,
okay.
No. We'll go for the age of the food and the type, maybe.
Hmm. So if we went for a grain, would we be right in thinking it's a kind of grain?
No. And this is not kind of a blanket thing, but like oldest specific meal, let's put it that way.
Specific
that a specific person has eaten. The oldest food that has been specifically.
So like if somebody ate a 3,000-year-old sandwich,
exactly.
For example. Okay.
Is that the answer?
No.
Oh, how about Eve?
Sandwiches weren't invented back then.
How about Eve giving Adam the apple? That's a that's pretty old.
Well, no, the apple wouldn't have been that old at the time.
Well, it would have been pretty old.
Well, I mean, not at the time that he ate it, it wouldn't have been that old, right?
Oh, I see. At the time of its eating.
7 days old.
Okay, so this thing was eaten long after it was produced. I see, okay.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Now I'm getting all right.
Is this, sorry. Is it like one of the berries that was found with the Iceman?
No.
No, okay.
You're on the right track, kind of.
Okay.
Give us a hint, unless you can't.
The age of it, I won't really give a hint. And guess near the nearest 1,000 years old, I guess.
Well, that narrows it down.
It's a piece of meat, let's put it that way.
Piece of meat. Oy. And I probably don't even want to know how they found this out, do I? Like, how would they have discovered this? Was it in some...
It was discovered during a road construction project, I believe.
Wow. So, does jerky last that long? How about buffalo jerky?
I know, but you're on the right track.
Oh,
I'll give it up.
Okay.
It's outside of Anchorage, they discovered a mammoth in permafrost. It had been frozen 36,000 years before. And they cut out some of the neck and cooked it up.
So that was mammoth jerky. Is that right?
Mammoth, well, it was frozen, so it wasn't really jerky.
Okay, fair enough.
But it had been frozen since then. They said it was actually pretty good.
I think
archaeologist from the University of Alaska at Anchorage.
I think they are required to say that. All right. Thanks very much, Tom.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend. Okay, we'll take another call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
All right. Very good. Is Searchlight the second George Bush?
It is not.
Oh, because I thought, you know, with the deer and the headlights and stuff.
Excellent rationale.
they weren't mocking him, huh?
Oh, well. Okay. Gilligan's Island now. How many cast members were on Perry Mason? How many cast members were on the Brady Bunch? And what cast members won any kind of Emmys or Golden Globes or Oscars or Grammys.
Okay, so start at the beginning. Are we starting with Gilligan's Island?
Gilligan's Island cast.
All right.
How many were on Perry Mason? How many were on the Brady Bunch?
Wow.
And did any win any kind of accolades?
Well, Perry Mason would always have many people. You're talking about the main cast, right?
No, I'm talking about guest appearances. I'm only talking about celebrity guest appearances.
Oh, so who appeared the most as a celebrity guest?
No, just who was on any of those.
Any of those.
Who from Gilligan's Island
was on Perry Mason the most and on the Brady Bunch?
No, just even once.
Even once, okay.
Even once.
All right. So, how about, was Jim Backus on Perry Mason?
No.
Okay.
Good guess, because you have to be older. Perry Mason predates.
Yeah. How about Bob Denver then?
No.
Because he was on Dobie Gillis in the 50s.
Yeah.
Tina, let's see. So we need to know all the cast members.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the guy who played the captain. There was Tina Louise.
Alan Hale.
Yeah, so was it him?
The skipper.
Yeah,
yes. Alan Hale was on Perry Mason twice, but not on the Brady Bunch.
Okay. So we're looking for... was Tina Louise on the Brady Bunch?
No.
Okay, wasn't she one of the babes on Gilligan's Island?
She was.
Yeah.
She was ginger.
Yeah. you say that with a lot of affection in your voice.
Of a certain age.
Yeah. Okay, so you might give us... you might have to tell us the Brady Bunch.
I left it with the board before I picked up the call.
Oh, you did? See? Okay. So we'll leave it out
there.
We're
all done with that.
Okay.
All I have to do is just keep the wheels turning there.
Okay, we will. Thanks for the call.
Have a good weekend.
Very good. Okay, let's take another call. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hey, Fred in West Virginia. How are you doing?
Okay, good, good. I got a couple of answers and a couple of questions.
Great.
Gone till November was either Lil Wayne or 50 Cent.
It was both. Lil Wayne. You're correct.
Okay, all right. I thought of rappers who've been in prison and wrote books. Okay, a drink named after President Donald Trump, the White Russian.
No. Very good, though. It's a classic. Could be a classic. Yeah.
Classic. Classic joke. Okay, and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was classic. George, the old guy, was history. And Nick, the stud, was biology.
That's correct. I didn't ask George, the old guy, but George Segal was a biology professor. Very good.
Okay. So in a couple of questions, I was going to do this for your young panelists, meaning under age 60.
They're
very knowledgeable.
That's our new demographic, under 60. Go ahead.
This is about their iPhone in their pocket, okay? If they want to say it's 68 degrees in San Francisco, how do you get a degree sign on the keyboard on your Apple phone?
Well, you just want to know. You don't know the answer. Right?
I know the answer. I had to look it up.
So you mean if you want to type it, like in a text message, that degree sign?
You want to type it in a text message or email. You're on your iPhone,
yeah,
your iOS system. How do you put the little degree symbol?
Do you hold down... let's say maybe the letter O until the options come up? No. Okay.
But you're close.
Is it a different letter that you hold down?
Do you hold down something? Fred,
It's the number zero.
You hold down the number zero and it becomes the little degree sign?
And let's say you young people have written a long email, maybe a Dear John letter to your boyfriend, and you want to get rid of it quick. How do you get rid of it real quick?
How do you delete it quickly?
Yeah.
Well,
are you saying from an inbox or an outbox?
Let's say, a message.
Okay.
A text message. And you've typed a couple of things. You want to get rid of it real quick.
You double tap and select all and hit delete?
Too long, much easier.
Okay.
You tell Siri, you yell at Siri, say delete the thing?
No,
okay.
No.
Michael?
Much easier.
I think you got to tell us, Fred.
Did you ever have an Exa sketch?
Yes. Shake it.
Shake it. It disappears right away.
We have to acknowledge that is the only useful information given on the show tonight.
That's fantastic.
No offense, that is good. Everybody shake their iPhones. Excellent.
Shake their iPhone, it deletes it, like Exa sketch.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Etch-a-sketch. Yeah. Do you have more?
Okay.
This is your last one.
A plane is flying overhead.
Oh, no.
And don't you often say, where's that going?
No.
How do you find out real quickly on your iPhone?
How do you find out?
You call, you ask Siri, plane flying overhead, and it gives you a map of the sky instantly.
Really?
All the planes in the sky.
Oh, man. All right. Fred, thank you very much.
I teach you young people.
Yeah. Well, it's late in West Virginia, but thank you for calling in every week. I appreciate that.
Right.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Michael, do you have a quick question?
Yes, I do. Sherlock Holmes had Dr. Watson. Whom did Hercule Poirot have?
Oh, that is a good question. Okay, so Poirot's sidekick. And Cameron, do you have a quick question?
I do. This goes out to my dad.
Who's a regular listener, by
the way. He is maybe the biggest fan of this show. In what city is Albion Castle located?
Maybe we can get your dad to call in with that. So we're looking for Albion Castle.
Albion Castle.
And let's take... I don't know what that is. Let's take another call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
For it was just revealed in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yes.
That George Segal worked as a biologist. But what department did Martha keep insisting that he worked in prior to that revelation?
She was kind of taunting him, is that right?
No, she initially told George that he worked in another.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So she initially told George he worked in a different department. What was it?
Yeah.
Was it in the science? Was it in the sciences? Was it in the?
I don't believe it would be classified in that. No.
How about,
since it's later, I'll just say it.
Yeah.
It was the math department.
Oh, wow. All right.
And then there's that funny line when she said, "Oh well, he can take over the history department just as easily from there."
Very nice.
And, okay, and then I have a couple of guesses for the regarding the Secretary of State. Maybe I missed it, but isn't Colin Powell? Did somebody mention Colin Powell?
Not yet.
As a living,
and that should be,
okay.
That should be the last one. Yes, Board Colin, Colin Powell. Yes, very good.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's the last
then,
secretary.
Yeah, and then CIA code names. How about Eagle would be maybe Gerald Ford?
No, it is not.
Okay, and then large cities who don't have a sports team. I'm just guessing because I'm not a sports fan. How about Nashville?
Nashville has a football team, I think, or a basketball team.
Okay, how about Knoxville?
Knoxville's not big enough.
Okay. For classic cocktails, how about Long Island iced tea?
Nope, not on the list. Not classic enough.
Okay, and I think those are all my answers. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye. Okay.
Got time for a couple more calls. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
It's Tom in San Francisco.
Tom in San Francisco, welcome.
Thank you. I have just a couple of answers for the question about the largest cities without pro sports teams.
What do you got?
How about Orlando?
Orlando has a basketball team.
Magic.
The Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. Okay. And then how about El Paso?
El Paso's on the list. It's fifth on the list with 680,000. Very good.
Okay, that's all I have.
All right. Very good.
Hello, thank you very much.
Thank you. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome. Hello. Hello. Next call. And how about the call after that? We got something? Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. We're not getting anything, so I will ask a short question here because we have time, for one more question. There's a new informal film rating, so it's not official, and it's called the Triple F, FFF. Well, Cameron is smiling because I think she knows this, so I want to know what each of the F stands for something different, and I don't have a full list, but are there any recent films that would get the Triple F rating? You smiled as if you'd know that.
Well, I don't know what the third F is. I believe the first two Fs are female filmmaker.
They all have to do with film, and they all have to do with females, but it's more specific than that.
Oh, okay.
There's one F for three different roles, if that makes sense. It's something that women would do in these movies. So you get one F for doing one thing, one F for doing another, and one F for doing another. And you should know. This is sort of in your ballpark.
I believe is American Honey one of the
American
most
Honey
recent...
is one of the films
that's
hit
the context
gets a triple
I read about
F.
It.
Yeah, yeah, I think it might have been invented for American Honey. Okay, let's see if we can get another call. I think we have time for one or two more calls if we can get to them quickly. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. No, we getting a call there? Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Good. Okay, so we're desperate. We feel like you're old, so you'll remember the guy who was saying Aaron Burr over and over. Okay, so we have dropped like 3 times, and your poor person thought like we were blaming you, and we weren't. So this is Laurie and Rob in the Outer Richmond. Marianne Evans is George Eliot.
Oh, yes, that is great. Very,
very good.
Thank you, and I wasted my life on her at Berkeley. Okay.
You did not waste your life on her at Berkeley.
No, I loved her. I ended up loving it, but I wanted Faulkner, and they canceled it, so I blame them for the rest of my life.
Okay. That's fair
enough.
So
then my wonderful partner, husband, whatever the hell he is, he was thinking Columbus as a big city.
Columbus is third on the list. Your wonderful husband has got it right. Very nice.
Okay. Hey, you can have sex tonight. Okay. And then... the Reagan one I got, and then I have to do this. I'm sure that Obama's a schwarza, but only some people will get that. And I did have Jerry Ford, and then Search for Eagle, and then Searchlight. Is that the younger Bush because he doesn't know where he is?
It's not, but I think you're the second person to make that joke, and
it's okay. I didn't hear it because I was so busy with the whole phone panic thing. And these were all post-Eisenhower, right?
They are all post-Eisenhower, yes.
Okay, so Lancer, I guess that could be Mr. Clinton and his friend.
It is not Mr. Clinton and his friend.
Or his friend.
You know what I'm saying.
I do, yes.
Okay, good. And Searchlight, God, I don't know. Well, Eagle, you got. All right, we're done now.
All right,
thank you
very
Bless
much.
You.
All right, I think it's Thanks. About time.
Bye.
That was a very buoyant call. Anyway, we have a lot of information to process from our studio audience and getting towards the end of the show. So let's go through let's answer all the unanswered questions as we lead into the theme music.
Okay. George Bernard Shaw was a co-founder of the LSE, the London School of Economics. And,
excellent.
Five ships that tried to circumnavigate the globe were the Trinidad, the San Antonio, the Concepcion, the Santiago, and the Victoria.
Excellent.
And Hercule Poirot had Captain Hastings by his side.
Very nice. Oh, and your two other authors.
Oh, yes. Salvatore Lombino is Ed McBain.
Oh.
And David Cornwell is John Le Carré.
Yeah. Oh. Should have known that. Cameron, what's on your list?
Okay. The outstanding Secret Service code names I have: Lancer was JFK. Eagle was Clinton, and Searchlight was Nixon.
Oh, very nice.
And in what city is Albion Castle located? It is in San Francisco.
Oh, I almost knew that. The missing cocktail in the Cocktail Hall of Fame is the sidecar. The Mixology Hall of Fame is in Cooperstown, New York, with the Baseball Hall of Fame, but the Museum of the Cocktails in New Orleans. The city we're missing in the top five that don't have a pro team is Fort Worth, Texas. And Glenn Ford was an English teacher in Blackboard Jungle. Robert Donat was a classics professor in Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And Cate Blanchett taught art and poetry and Notes on a Scandal, and I think, the triple F rating, are women, wrote, directed, and had significant women on film, and Frozen is the other one. This is Laurie Fisher and Minds Over Matter. Want to thank Michael Gorin and Cameron Shaw, Colin Pennar, and Steve Wilcott for being on the board. Hope you have a great week. Dana will be back next week. Write Minds Over Matter if you have comments or other questions. Appreciate it very much. That's it for tonight. Good night.